You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
And I'm talking with Chaplain David Thompson. And how are you, David?
I'm great today, Rhett. It's a great day.
Where were you born and raised?
Actually, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. And yeah. He is the chaplain at the St. Lucie County Sheriff's Office.
That's correct.
And I have never gone to jail as a felon or anything like that, but I did run away from home.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
When I was 15. Chaplain's muted. Let's see. Well, which one is he? It says right here, it's bright. Okay. So that means, sorry about that. David, say hi.
Hi. Hello.
Okay. Should we start again? No, it's okay. All right.
Okay.
So anyway, so I ran away. I don't know if I was 15, 14, 15, maybe 16. Mm. Anyway, so we're hitchhiking, my friend, and we're going to go from New York to California. Here we come.
Wow.
So in the middle of the night, picked up by a VW van bus, and we traveled all the way from New York, and we're in Ohio.
Wow.
And to me, they had Southern accents there.
If Southern Ohio, they would.
But the cops said they saw us hitchhiking, pulled us over, and they put me into a place. Like a jail.
Probably a detention center.
Yeah, for youth, yep.
Yeah, because you can't be in an adult facility if you're a youth.
And I was there for a couple of nights. And
wow.
So it was scary. And then suddenly there was a group called Travelers Assistance or something.
Yeah.
They put up the money and flew me back home. That was that. But it was scary. That's so much my only experience of being held against my own will. Mm. But it was terrifying. So the other day, you and I went into the local jail.
That's right.
With the rabbi,
mm-hmm,
and another fellow, and we preached Jesus to these fellows.
Yes.
But you have many miracles. You're going to want to hear Chaplain David's stories. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I grew up Catholic, Rhett, and when I was a little boy, I read The Lives of the Saints. I was about 10 years old. But all these miracles that had happened in the past, you know, with Bridget of Lourdes and, St. Francis and all these people. When I closed the book, I said, well, God, what about now? How come there's no miracles happening now? And God reminded me that when I got older, and he said, I'm still in a miracle business. He said, but some people have kept me in a box. They won't let me out. But I'm ready, willing, and able.
People fear that which they cannot control.
Right. Well, that's true, but the natural mind does not understand the things of the spirit. And you're right. I was at a workshop, a full gospel businessman's workshop up in Gainesville. We had a surgeon come, and he was speaking, and he says, you know, I was on my way through the hospital making rounds, and I got directed by the Lord to go over to the ER. Well, sure enough, there was a guy that had died. This guy's name was Dr. Doug Fowler. And he said, the Lord said, I want you to go over and pray for this guy. And he was dead, so he prayed for him, and the Lord brought him back to life. Now, the ER physician, board-certified ER physician, he was a Cuban fella, he had just pronounced him dead. He'd been dead about 30 minutes, and Dr. Doug walked over, a board-certified surgeon, laid hands on him, and he came back to life. The Cuban doctor went unglued, going, glory to God, it's a miracle. So they're running around telling everybody that this guy was dead, and God raised him from the dead. The rest of the staff said, no, you thought he was dead. The machines probably made an error, or, you know, he wasn't that. And these two docs said, listen, I'm a board-certified ER doc. I pronounced him dead 30 minutes ago. This guy, a board-certified surgeon, walks in, lays hands on him, and the guy comes back to life. And Dr. Doug says, see, the natural mind is going to dismiss it, going to say there was some hiccup, but he wasn't dead, like Jesus said about the little girl. He was just sleeping. But God will be as big in your heart, Pastor Cho said, as your heart will allow him to be, big in your life.
And you wonder how, when Dr. Norman Vincent Peale was 95, he said, I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple times.
Oh, wow.
And he said, I believe the whole of it, the reason we're here is to learn faith.
Yes.
Now, there is a difference, though, because you've got these other people coming out with these books like The Secret, and, you know, you can control God, mm-hmm. or you can we can collectively by prayer control God. No. So it is a mystery, though. But it says without faith, it's impossible to please God.
That's right.
So that means with faith, it's possible to please him?
Well, I had a friend of mine, Apostle Trevor Banks. You might want to get Trevor on your show. He's an amazing man of God. He was in our prayer group for a long time. We've had a prayer group, Brett, that's met for 8 years every Tuesday morning for an hour, and we pray.
This but is men only, or?
Men in ministry. That's the drawing line. It doesn't mean you got to be an ordained pastor, but it does mean if you have a ministry, you can come.
Where do you meet?
We meet at the Diamond Event Center in Fort Pierce, just off of US 1. It's in a little strip plaza right behind Tropical Smoothie, just a little bit north of the south of the railroad tracks, 32. I believe it's 15 South US 1, but Pastor Jimmy Nettles has an event center there, and Jimmy is part of our prayer group. And he said, when COVID came, we were meeting at a church, and they just said, well, right now we're not having church. We're the only body in the church. So they shut it down. We've been there about 5 years. And then Jimmy said, you know what? I just bought this event center. You guys can meet there rent-free every Tuesday from 7:39, however long. So we've been meeting there, but Apostle has become a very good friend of mine. He said, John Wesley said two things. He said, man without God can do nothing, but God without man will do nothing. So we really have to, our faith activates the supernatural, and it gives God permission to do what he wants to do, whether that's to, in this case, raise the dead, heal somebody, mend a broken heart, open a door that perhaps has been closed for a long time.
You know, I got to know Reinhard Bunke when he was around town, and I met him at the car wash. And, of course, within 10 minutes, I had an interview with him right there at the car wash. And then we became friends.
Yes, sir.
And I introduced him to a Bible study up here. But he's a very manly man.
Yes.
And I always wonder why he had favor. And sometimes it's a funny. Somebody said recently, you know, I could see you, Rhett, going around with a tent. And it's funny, as weird as it sounds, I've always something I've wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, God's not going to just show up one day. Maybe, I mean, how did Billy Graham first do it? I mean, he was in California. He wasn't from there. He's from the Carolinas. Somehow they rented a tent and, you know, had put a lot of feet between each seat. But it started filling up.
They showed up. But
if you walk, well, go ahead.
But what happened is William Randolph Hearst had some people there.
Puff Graham, I know.
And they were so impressed. They said, you know what? We need to get behind this guy. Oral Roberts, his story. He had a big church in Oklahoma in the late 40s. I mean, I think he was running about 5,000 or 10,000, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, I want you to get a tent and go down to Oklahoma City in February. Well, I've been there. It's raining, and when it rains in Oklahoma, it don't take more than 2 inches, and you have flash floods. He's down there. It's muddy. It's damp. It's cold. Nobody was going to tent service, but there was a girl in a wheelchair that went because she needed a miracle. He hadn't done miracles in the church. He just prayed. He preached the word. He laid hands on that lady, and God did a miracle, and her father was the editor of the Oklahoma City newspaper, and it went viral. And the rest was history. But see, God says, listen, if you'll do what I ask you to do, I'll show up. But God will not do anything unless we're part of the deal. That's just the way he's
designed. Recently I was somewhere. I went to this house where they feed people once a week. And they said, hey, Rhett, do you want to do the prayer? I did. So for some reason, I don't know if I've ever said this, but I said, Jesus, we invite you to be here.
Yes.
And the guy later said to the group, he said, I tell you this morning, I was praying to the Lord, and I heard, Jesus, we invite you to be here, and Rhett said it.
Praise
now,
God.
So by the Spirit, it came out of my mouth. So we need to invite him to participate. And I was told long ago, he can only bless a moving target. Go out there and do something, and he'll redirect you. But you got to be walking in order for him to direct your steps.
Yeah, my dear friend, who was like my spiritual father, Paul O'Higgins. I don't know if you know Paul O'Newlard. Great. Paul had been a Catholic priest in Ireland. And due to the politics in Belfast, you know, where Catholics are killing Protestants and Protestants were killing Catholics, Paul just said, "This isn't God. I just They had a great reconciliation movement, but then there came a bishop who knew not, well, not Pharaoh, but who didn't know God like they did. And when all these Protestants were coming to this Catholic church for a great revival and renewal, a lot of healing was going, a lot of forgiveness, the bishop ordered Paul. He said, "What are these people doing in my church?" And he said, "Well, Your Excellency, I thought this was God's church." And he said, "No, it's my church, and Father, You're working for me, and I want You to tell these people they're not welcome here." And he said, "Your Excellency, I won't disobey Your order." Well, he didn't. He resigned. He walked away from the ministry there, but not his calling. Well, I met him here in America. I was dating my wife, mm-hmm. and she said, "You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus." And I said, "Listen, I've gone to church all my life. Nobody's ever
told me." This is you.
Yeah. Nobody's ever told me that, right? And I said, and then she bought me a Bible. I said,
"This is your wife?"
Yeah. I was dating her then.
Oh, you're dating.
No,
okay.
We were dating.
Your future wife.
She was a nurse, and she just, I'd never gone out with a God girl. This was like back in 1979.
A God girl. I like that.
But I liked it. You know, my friend said she's weird. And I said, "Well, she's good weird. I like that." And so she brought me to this Pentecostal prayer meeting, and I got really uncomfortable, you know. Yeah. People were praying in that heavy language. People were falling on the floor.
Whee!
This guy said, yeah. "I was working in a high rise on the beach, and a tile guy, was putting grout in, and he forgot to put a safety belt on the balcony, and he fell 4 stories on top of a pile of bricks." He said, "Well, he was an electrician. I ran down, laid hands on him, and 2 hours later, he was back to work." I about come out of my chair. I said, "That guy's either the biggest liar I've ever met, or he knows something about God I don't." Well, anyways, I felt so uncomfortable, I said, "I've got an excuse." I told Deborah, I said, "Deborah, I can't go back unless there's other Catholics." And I knew there would not be Catholics at a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. Well, wrong. So the next month, Paul came. She said, "How would a former Catholic priest and nun be?" And I said, "Oh, I've got to see this." So I came up, and he told me, "Yes, you need a personal relationship with Jesus. Yes, you need to read the Bible. And yes, there is more. There's the Holy Spirit." But what he told me, he said, "David, God's given you an amazing brain, but you're going to have to get delivered of that brain to get to know God." And then he told me, he said, "You know, it's a lot easier for God to steer a car that's moving."
Yeah.
So he said, like you said, just get out there and get moving.
Steer a car that's
and God
moving.
Will direct us.
Jesus,
even if we're going the wrong way, he can allow U-turns, and that's what happens all the time at the jail. People were heading in the wrong direction, playing on a losing team. And I told him, "You guys are blue chip players, but you're playing on the wrong team. You got a bad coach. You got a loser coach. You need to get on the A team and let God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit teach you how to run the race with confidence."
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Them in glory someday.